are a woman. You are an executive. You are a student. You are a mom. You are an entrepreneur. You are anything you choose to be. You are a woman of infinite possibilities and endless opportunities. Now, here's your host for today's show.
Hi, welcome everyone to today's show of the Every Woman Can Be Speaker Spotlight Radio. I'm Kathleen Kelly, the business service advisor of Every Woman Can Be and owner of KC Streamline Concepts, offering business productivity solutions. Every Woman Can Be is a premier organization to provide women the opportunity to learn more about business, women's health issues, self-improvement, and many more topics. I invite you for approximately the next 30 minutes to relax, eat your lunch, and if you are driving, please be hands-free. And I'd like to welcome my guest today, who is James Spagano, and he's going to be the keynote speaker at this month's Every Woman Can Be July 16th event here in Charlotte. James, are you on the line? James, are you on the line? James, can you hear me? James, can you hear me?
Am I? Oh. Kathleen?
Yes. Oh. Wait a minute. Are you there, James?
I am here, Kathleen.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. Well, welcome. I'm so happy to have you here. Did you have a great 4th of July?
I did. Thank you very much. Hopefully you did as well. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I had a house full, and I still have 6 more adults left for the rest of the day. So
okay.
It's been a long weekend since last Wednesday, but it's been wonderful. But I'm really happy that you're able to join me today. And let me tell our listeners a little bit about you before we start chatting here. So James is the owner of Growth Coach of Charlotte. As a strategic business coach and sales coach, James focuses his practice on assisting entrepreneurs to achieve their goals and find greater success. He has 25 years of successful and diverse business experience, ranging from business ownership and various corporate positions, including sales and sales management, marketing, business development, and team leadership. Now, prior to becoming the growth coach of Charlotte, he held positions as senior marketing manager at BSN Medical and director of marketing at Premier Healthcare Alliance. And both of those companies are based here in Charlotte. It was his position at Premier which allowed James and his wife, Trish, to relocate from New Jersey to Charlotte in 2009. Now, prior to that, James was the owner of Hybrid Publishing in Red Bank, New Jersey, a company he co-founded and launched in the year 2000. Hybrid was a boutique agency that focused on publishing and special projects for medical and healthcare field. He enjoyed this organization until relocating here to Charlotte. And James and his wife, they've been married for 11 years. Congratulations. And they live in Charlotte with their two dogs, Lola and Savannah. Love those names. James and Trish enjoy sailing, travel, cooking, and spending time along with some good wine, I'm there with you, with friends and family. So for the next 30 minutes, having James tell us more in detail about the topic that he's going to be sharing with us in a few weeks at the Maggiano's in South Park here in Charlotte. So we're really excited of having you join us, James. So how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Kathleen. I appreciate this opportunity, and I am looking forward to next week at Maggiano's and the presentation that I'll be providing to your group. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of women that will be very excited meeting you, and as well as myself. I've heard lots about you. I've seen your picture out there in many different places, so I'm anxious to meet you in person, too. So, James, as a business owner, knowing sales is an important aspect of growing my business, and I'm very interested in your topic today, which is sales success principles for the entrepreneur. But first, tell us a little bit about your background and how you actually did become a sales coach.
Sure. Well, Kathleen, you gave a really great overview of my professional background, and I appreciate that. But from a sales coaching perspective, I got to go all the way back to actually thanking my father. My dad was also an entrepreneur, still is, actually. He's in real estate current day. But early on, he had a business, and right when I graduated school, I started working for him. And he had always impressed upon me, as well as my siblings, that sales is a skill set that you could integrate into whatever you do, with whatever career path you choose. Because, you know, if you think about selling, it is about interpersonal skills, it's about business acumen, and all these things combine into being a better business person. So early on, you know, 20-something, right, Kathleen? I mean, you think you have the answers to solve all the world's problems.
Right.
And I started working for him, and he impressed upon me all that sales can do for me. You know, I never thought I'd come out and be a salesperson, but he got me started, and then throughout my career, I was in and out of business ownership. I worked for him for a while. I worked in corporate roles as a salesperson and a sales manager. So all of these things led me to my current role as a business coach and a sales coach. I'm an entrepreneur at heart, and I see the gap that a lot of entrepreneurs have when it comes to selling. And through my coaching, I really feel like I could help close that gap, make the comfort level there, and quite honestly, make selling less of a taboo thing to do. I mean, we have to do it, and being in business for yourself means you're going to have to sell. So I want to get people over that barrier and push forward to being more productive and more confident in their selling.
Yeah, that's true. And we're all not born salespeople, but then, as you say, if we're entrepreneurs and we have our own business or it's a small business, you have to acquire those skills and become comfortable for it, you know, in that role. But, you know, I noticed in your introduction that you refer to yourself as a strategic business coach. So can you help us understand a little bit more why you use that term strategic?
Sure. And I'm asked that a lot, Kathleen. And it's actually, I'm glad I put it there because I do get asked the question. And guess what? That leads to a good conversation, right? So, you know, strategic from my perspective means long-term and a higher level perspective of how you view your business. Because a lot of small business owners, especially self-employed entrepreneurs, they get into doing their business and they're good at doing something. So they start their business because they believe that what their skill set is or their products that they have, that they could do this better for themselves than they can doing it for other people, right? So we as entrepreneurs have been doing what we set our businesses up to do for a lot longer than we've been selling. Does that make sense? So we need to look at it from a strategic perspective. We need to look at our business at a higher level, get out of the minutia and the close details that we approach our day every day, and back up a minute, breathe, and put plans in place so that you could work toward very specific and deliberate goals for yourself. Because if we just turn the key in the door of our office every morning and react all day long, that's not building a business and that's not building an entity for yourself. That's just reacting to the demands of your job. And that's not why we went into business. We went into business to have independence and build an asset and all the good things that business ownership could bring for you. But without that strategic perspective, that higher level 30,000 foot view over everything we're doing, it's hard for us to move forward. Does that make sense? And I could clarify some things if you need me to, but
yeah.
that's really the gist of what I mean by that.
Right, and I can see the strategic, and the one word, you know, I heard was plan, and I find that with, you know, as a professional organizer and helping people in their, you know, organizing their business, you find that they really don't have a plan. You know, they think that they can just go and sell, and they say, well, you know, why aren't people buying from me? Why aren't I getting some leads? Why, you know, why is my pipeline, you know, not full? But they're not making plans. And as you say, you have to have a strategic approach. So I think that's, you know, a really, really valid point. And so, you know, how does being strategic, you know, really help us be better at selling, do you think?
Well, I think being strategic from a sales perspective does exactly what you just mentioned, Kathleen. It forces us really to put plans in place, and then against those plans, what are the milestone achievements that we can say, hey, this is working, this isn't working. You know, let's face it, being in business for yourself, it's hard, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of aspects of it that are phenomenal, but it's also hard. And what we need to do is we need to constantly refine. My coach always tells me, you know, we have to be nimble enough, and it's a constant slog, he says. I mean, if you think about that, it's slow. It's slower than we think it should be. We always want to hit that fast forward button.
Mm-hmm.
But it's slow, and then we have to be able to also tweak. So my coach always tells me, you know, think about it that way. Your business is growing, but it's at a slower pace. And we have to constantly make refinements, because every step of the way, if you have milestone achievement goals, then at least we could say, okay, last 30 days, this is what I set out to do. Let's look in the rearview mirror now. What worked? What didn't work? What didn't work? And how do we adjust going forward? Is it stay the course, or do we have to kind of tweak it a little bit? So I think from a sales perspective, we have to be able to do that each and every day. We have to put key goals in place, short-term, mid-term, long-term, and then measure that every step of the way. What are the activities that are going to get me to my long-term goals in the mid-term and in the short-term? And then adjust where needed, because I think we get a little frustrated sometimes if we go out and we say, okay, I'm going to sell X widgets today, and you go out and you sell zero. And you get discouraged. And now all of a sudden you're challenging yourself and you're thinking, I must be doing something wrong, or why did I ever go into this business? You know, things like that. And I know I'm being extreme with that because I'm using one day as a window of measurement. But I think we have to put those plans in place and constantly revisit them, have a deliberate action plan against them, and then look at what's working, what's not working, adjust where needed. That's really the bottom line. And I think as we become more strategic, remember, long-term, different visibility, much higher level than reacting every day, work against that deliberate plan. As a strategic business owner and strategic sales professional, you will be able to make the adjustments against a longer-term strategy rather than just reacting each and every day. That's
right.
Part of the process.
Right. So what do you see as some of the biggest barriers that you know, for selling that small businesses or self-employed individuals have, you know, those barriers that is, you know, holding us back?
Sure. I think, well, we talked about it a little bit already, but I think time, I don't think we give ourselves enough time to make the progress that we're looking to achieve. But then what do we do with that time? And how do we organize our day so that we're being very deliberate toward very specific goals that we're setting out to ourselves? You know, if you look at your to-do list, I'm sure we could check off 20 things and look back on the day and say, but what did I really accomplish? And that's where you have to challenge yourself. So I think time management is a huge barrier to a lot of folks in business. I also have seen lack of processes be a tremendous barrier with businesses, because without process, there's no action steps that lead us to something that we could at least be relatively certain that we're going to achieve. If we follow step 1, 2, and 3, step 4 should be achieved. Process. That's something I think that a lot of small business owners and sales professionals don't realize the importance of. And really, from a sales perspective, I think it's mindset. I think a lot of folks seem to have a barrier as to, well, I don't want to sell. And, you know, we talked about that very early on as we were talking, Kathleen, today, that there seems to be this little bit of a, I guess, social stigma that, you know, selling, I don't want to be a salesperson. But if you're in business for yourself, you have to be. And then how do you convert that need into a comfort level and feeling like, you know what, sales isn't such a bad thing. It's not a four-letter word, and we're able to do this. This is how we're going to make money and drive our business forward, right? So, I think, we could spend a lot more time on what are the barriers, but I see those a lot. Time management, that mindset, and lack of process, I think, are three key areas, three key barriers that I see regularly.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you something. What type of personality traits do you see that really make a good salesperson? Because, you know, there's some people that say, oh, I can go into this business and I can sell so-and-so. But, you know, are there set personality traits that are much better than others to be a more successful salesperson? Or can, although I guess through a lot of education and a lot of work, you could become a good salesperson. But, you know, some people, as you say, they might get discouraged so early on, they're just going to drop it. So what do you think about that as personality?
Well, personality, and we look at that in our programs. We look at more behavior than personality, but we use DISC assessments, which I'm sure a lot of your audience is familiar with those. But if you look at it from a personality perspective, you would think that an extrovert would be the born salesperson. But there's limitations with an extrovert because maybe an extrovert is going to talk too much and they're not listening enough, you know, whereas a introvert may go out and say, you know what, I'm a little nervous about moving to step one, but once I'm in step one, they're good listeners because they're going to ask a question and then they're going to want to receive the information and be that person that they could be have a conversation with rather than do all the talking. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Different personalities, I think, hit the ground stronger than others, but I am a firm believer that regardless of where you land on a personality chart, whether you're using DISC or Myers-Briggs or any of the assessments or who you are, just understanding who you are, you need to understand what your strengths are, leverage those, identify your weaknesses, work on those. But it's really about understanding a sales process in order to carry you through so that you can leverage what you're good at and what you may be uncomfortable with. So, you know, there's books out there that will say, you know, the extrovert that loves to be around people, they're going to be good salespeople. And, yeah, it makes sense because they want to be near sales. They find energy with other people. So, obviously, they're going to want to get out from behind their desk.
But there's
also an argument for those that are very detail-oriented and know how to connect the dots and are very particular that they're going to deliver a strong message and a very reliable product or service at the end of it, too. So
I guess we
help people identify that, you know?
Yeah, and I guess an extrovert, too, could sometimes be too overpowering or intimidating to whomever they're trying to, you know, sell to. So, you know, you get that strong salesperson, you go, whoa, back up. You know, you're making me nervous.
Absolutely. How do you get to that line of confidence without crossing the arrogance line, right?
Exactly. That's really a good point because I know I've come up, you know, even from a car salesman, or, you know, walk into a store and you want to buy something, you know, the salesperson that hangs onto your back, it's like, you know, give me my space. Whereas someone approaches you much more.
You're hitting on something very important. It's up to us as the person selling our product or service to identify and understand who that person is on the other side of the desk. It's not about them needing to adapt to our style. It's about us being able to adapt to their style. So to your point, that salesperson who's hanging on your every word and wants to, like, you know, be 3 inches away from you to have a conversation, you're not comfortable with that, it's his job to identify that and be able to give you that space that you're looking for.
Yeah. And that's true.
It may work for...
Yeah. I was just thinking, my daughter works out in California for a company, and she had this really, you know, a really good idea to bring, you know, to the table, and she had to bring it to, you know, her boss. But she did her research and some things I hadn't heard about before. And she did her research because she's only worked there for maybe about 6 months, and she wanted to really know the personality type of how to approach this person. Are they a detailed person? Does he just want the facts and say, okay, let me look at it and thank you very much? or is he one that likes to, you know, really, really talk about it? And I thought, and it was really interesting. I said, wow, that's really smart, you know, before, because she had a really big pitch that she was given. And I thought, how, you know, smart to really find out that, you know, person. So she knew how to approach him, and she did a fabulous job. So I think, you know, all of this is really, really important to know. I find it really fascinating. But, you know, tell us a little bit more about the process that you're talking about a couple of times here.
Sure, sure. And I think that's a great story that you shared, because it really just exemplifies what we talked about. I mean, it's really, it was up to her to understand his language. We have to speak their language, right?
Exactly.
And not to make everybody nervous about that, but it's true. Mm-hmm. We all speak a different language. But process, since that's like one of the biggest barriers I find in small business owners as far as their sales process, you know, when you ask, well, do you have a process? And most will say no. Most have never even had sales training or coaching or any formal sales, you know, course, let's say. But if you think about sales and the sales process, it starts, it's three components. No matter, there's plenty of books out there, and everyone will have a different theory, but they're all going to have this core three-step process that sales is really about what we just discussed. It's about effective communication. It's about how do you have a conversation and have the other side understand what you're saying and have you understand what they're saying. So if you think about it from a high-level perspective, if sales is effective communication, it comes down to three things. You got to get to know the person on the other side of the conversation. So that starts with the whole rapport building and the relationship that you have with them. It leads to step two, which is an exchange of information. It's, this is what I'm looking for. This is, you know, this is what I do. You know, this is what I need. This is what I can do for you. And then the third is an agreement. You have to gain agreement. Now, does that mean you make a sale every time? No. An agreement could be that you can't help that person, or an agreement could be we're going to go to the next step with this. Let's have another meeting because I need to go back to my office and gather the information you requested. Let's have another meeting. But if you think about every sales transaction, all the way from buying a cup of coffee to purchasing the car that you mentioned earlier, Kathleen, to engaging in a huge service contract with somebody, it comes down to three steps. It comes down to a relationship or rapport, an exchange of information, and then an agreement. Even if, when you buy a cup of coffee, you say hello and, you know, there's an exchange, right? You got to, there's this, you know, it's not as deep. The relationship doesn't need to be as deep when you're buying a $2 cup of coffee as it does when you're signing a multi-$1,000 engagement with somebody.
It
really comes down to effective communication and having that process in your mind to just get you through that and understand what that all means makes it more approachable. You know, it's not this manipulative strategy of, you know, let me try to convince somebody to buy this. It's not about that.
Right.
And I hear that a lot with self-employed folks. Well, I'm not comfortable with selling because I don't want to have to convince somebody that they need this. But that's not what it's about. It's about understanding what they need, fulfilling what they need with what you can provide. And if you can't, you got to be willing to say that too, right? So we got to be able to walk away from some deals, although we don't like to. So
I was going to ask you, because, you know, I run into that a lot, that people know they need my services. And, we talk about it. I help them out as much as I can before that, you know, they really need me on site, one-on-one. And then, you know, I get to the point sometimes that they just won't sign the dotted line. So do you feel that, you know, we just need to just kind of walk away and give them, I mean, what I try to do is walk away, give them some time, maybe try again. But then after a while, it's like, you know, they have to realize that they need the service. Or I guess, as some people say, you know, they have to feel the pain enough, and then they'll come back to me and say, you know, I really need you. So how do you feel about that, of how much to stay engaged with that person or just take the no and walk away? Or does it depend upon what you're selling, do you think?
Well, I all of the above, but I think one of the things that resonated with me when you were talking about your scenario is if we are – walking into a sales conversation with somebody because they approached you. I have a need mm-hmm. for your service, Kathleen. I want to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
What do we tend to do? We tend to make assumptions before we even get there. We tend to say, well, they're calling me. They must need me. And I'm just going to go and I'm going to talk about what I do and how I could help them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes where we're missing the key element is they called you because they identified a need in their mind, but let's get to know them. Let's understand what their need really is. It could be that we haven't really truly uncovered, to your point, that pain or that real need
mm-hmm.
until we have a conversation around what they're looking for. And it's one of the key things that I'm going to touch on at next week's presentation is where do most people believe sales are lost? And it really is at a stage of that middle ground where we talked about step two, which is exchange information. A lot of times we as salespeople show up and want to just make the assumption and present rather than question and listen and really uncover the true need behind it. And I'm not saying that in your particular case that might be, you know, I don't know if that hit a hot button for you or not, but I think if we really reflect on our sales calls and our conversations with people where we don't get the sale, it could be that we just did not ever identify the true need or the pain behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. And I want you to consider that. That's all.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good point. Well taken. And, sometimes I just think that I know I can help them. It's like, you know, just let me help you. Give me, you know, the time. But as you say, maybe I'm just not approaching it the right way or maybe using the right words for them, or maybe instead of saying you just need to, I mean, I try not to do this, but, you know, instead of saying you need to get organized, you know, let's look at your time and how you can process everything so you do save time and you can be more productive. But, yeah, it's a fine line sometimes with who you're talking to because, you know, especially if we're in the home, it's a personal space. And so you sometimes have to walk that fine line of, you know, what you can really say or should say. So point well taken.
Well, think, and you know what? Think of the emotions that are going through your clients or your prospects' minds and their
mm-hmm.
and their gut. I mean, you're in a business where you need to basically be in their personal space, right?
Right.
So that's
mm-hmm.
that's a tough thing for people to overcome, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are very, especially home offices. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't see my house. I said, let me tell you, in my career, I have seen the worst place I could ever see. And my lips are sealed. You know, this is just personal between the two of us. So, yeah. And I do tell them that. I say, I have seen the worst I think I could see.
Well,
or I hope it's the worst
and
I could ever see, that's for sure.
And if I get to your house and yours is the worst, I'll let you know. But
yeah, okay. Yeah,
but,
exactly. Exactly. If I walk in and go, oh, my Lord.
Right.
Yeah. Well, James, this has been great. You know, this is just, you know, for our listeners, we're just touching on some of the things that James, you know, does as a growth coach, and he's going to be sharing lots more at the Every Woman Can Be. So if listeners want to find out, you know, how to get in touch with you before that, can you give us your contact information?
Are you still there, Kathleen? Did I lose you?
Yeah.
No, I got you.
No, I'm
okay.
Here. Yep.
I heard it. I thought I heard it drop. I'm sorry. I would love to do that. My contact information, they could visit my website. It's just my name, jamespagano.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or my phone number is 704-996-3935. Those are two great ways to get a hold of me.
Perfect. And, you know, thanks so much for, you know, taking time out at the end of this holiday weekend, and I'm looking very forward to meeting you next week. So just a reminder to our listeners that, you know, James will be the keynote speaker. It's next Thursday, July 16th from 11 to 1 at Maggiano's Little Italy in South Park Mall here in Charlotte. And I encourage you to register and bring a friend or a colleague with you. You don't have to be a business owner to come, because down the road sometime you may, get inspired to, go to work or have your own business. So you'll be getting lots of, and just really good life skills you'll be learning about. And registering only takes a few minutes. Go to www.everywomancanbe.com. And it will be right there on the home page for you to register, real easy. And while you're there, check out, our website. You can see all of our members and read about them and what they offer and do. We have a calendar of events. All of the past speaker spotlight broadcasts are archived on our website, so you can go back and listen to those anytime on your phone. It's very easy to do. And then we also have the Hot Topics is just a lot of different articles written by our members and many of our speakers. So I'm sure we'll be asking James to contribute to that so you have a real good hard copy of some of the things he's talking about. So, James, thank you so much once again for joining me. And I hope that all of you have a wonderful afternoon. And remember, you are a woman with infinite possibilities and endless opportunities. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kathleen. Have a great day. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.